We have several updates to previous stories, and it's good. It's good to check in on our old friends and see how they're doing. And clearly, one of my favorite friends is Sugar Baby Riri-chan. Sugar Baby Riri-chan is one of the most successful scammers we've actually talked about. And she just ran the scam of, hey, I'm going to text you, make you fall in love with me, you send me money, and then I'm just going to disappear. Between 2021 to 2023, she got guys to give her 1.55 billion yen that we know of. Because this is primarily from three victims. And she was saying, oh, I'm going to lose my business. I got family in trouble. And then they would say, oh, I'll, you know, help pay for that. And she would say, no, 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 I don't want you to pay. But that, again, made it seem more legitimate. She didn't want to take money from these guys. They had to, like, tease everything out of her. We know this because she wrote a manual and posted that on the internet. The manual was basically how to scam men out of money by making them fall in love with you. The sugar baby element of her name is very, very appropriate. She also got arrested. And I think this might be the thing that got her caught more than anything else, was evading income tax. And, you know, the government, like, you can scam people and they'll, like, if it's convenient, we'll come catch you. You can write a manual on how to scam people. I don't know if that's necessarily illegal per se. I'm sure it's not good. It does point to you being more suspicious in your criminal activities. That might be where the actual issue comes from. Maybe writing a manual on how to commit crimes is not illegal, but I'm sure if you do something like that, people are going to come take a look at you more closely. But if you invade income tax, if the government doesn't get their taste, the government doesn't get their cut, you're going down. So anyway, she was arrested. She was sentenced to 9 years in prison. So she's going to jail at 25. She's going to get out when she's 34. I was actually just thinking, like, in 10 years, well, it's 9 years, but just again, round off, the world, how different is the world going to be? Like, we just think about, like, the changes over the last 10, 20 years. Yeah, 9 years in jail now. Like, you come out to a completely different world. We might have, like, things in our heads. I might have new eyes. Who knows? Because everything changes so quickly now. It's interesting. And this irrelevant to the story. Just suddenly I was like, oh, if you just disappeared and came back 9, 10 years later, what would actually the world look like? And I was trying to throw my mind back and realized my life's exactly the same because there's been no progress because I have a very depressing life. She had her prison sentence reduced by 6 months. And this is interesting. What did she, like, charm someone else out of 6 months to get a little 6 months off her time? Well, in her court case, she stated that, I feel sorry for taking the money that the victims work so hard to earn, which I do not believe at all. Let me just be straight up really honest. I don't think after you've stolen 1.55 billion yen from people, you feel a lot of regret that you took that money. I think you feel regret that you got caught. I think you probably regret that you avoided income tax. I think you probably regret that you published a manual so leading police directly back to you to check to see if you scammed anybody. I think that's probably true. I don't think there's a lot of regret. I think scammers, like, things can happen and you can feel sorry for it. 100% that can happen. You can commit a terrible act and then later be like, this was a mistake. I shouldn't have done this. I believe that. I have a much harder time believing scammers for some reason. I don't think someone who scams you later actually feels bad for scamming you. I think this might just be part of the whole grift. And that's the problem with liars. This is the little boy who cried wolf. I never thought that story would become relevant to an Ninja News Japan episode, but here we are. Because she's lied so much and so easily, I don't believe that she feels regret. The judge said she has shown willingness to apologize to the victims, so he took 6 months off her sentence. I don't agree with the judge. I don't know enough about law. So again, the statement is very clear. So we got to take these statements as statements of fact, and the fact of what the content therein is what we need to judge it on. So he said, she has shown willingness to apologize. The fact that she means it or not is technically irrelevant. She has at least said she will apologize, so you get a reduced sentence. I guess I have to accept that. I mean, I'm not a judge. They have no say. They didn't call me to check beforehand. But I guess that gives some closure to the victim to a degree. So I guess there is, if you're willing to do, basically the judge is like, if you're willing to do this, we will reduce your sentence by a little bit. She's willing to do it. She did it. Whether she means it or not, I guess technically is not relevant. That sentiment will continue on in our next story. Ooh, I'm actually, like, bumping to the next story. This is like a cliffhanger. another wonderful human being was the lady who was throwing eggs at her neighbor's house. So this went on for months and months and months and months and months. And if you go back to the episode where I talked about this story, you will find that I am far, far more concerned with how much money she spent on eggs. So she would basically open her window, huck an egg out at her neighbor's house. It would hit her house, of course, break. They showed pictures. There were like hundreds and hundreds of broken eggs. And so there is the insanity of, I am going to throw eggs at my neighbor's house. That's already a lot. There is, to me, the insanity of spending money on dozens and dozens of eggs, because they were talking like 2-3 cartons a day sometimes of eggs. She had to pay for those. And eggs are expensive in Japan. They're not, you know, the most expensive food, but they're not cheap. They're not free. You're spending a lot of money on eggs to throw eggs at someone's house, which is a huge waste of eggs. So, I mean, I want my criminals to be more fiscally responsible. So you got to pay your taxes, as we learned in a previous story, and don't waste money on something, because it's not having an effect on the neighbor exclusively. You live next to that smell too. So all those eggs sort of sitting around rotting outside. When they did the reporter said, like, you can smell it as you walk up to the house. Like, you're like a block away. You can start to smell the place we're going to. She lives next to that because the eggs are in between the two houses. She's getting just as much of the bad effect as the neighbor. The neighbor, the victim in this case, when she spoke to the police and was like, what the fuck? I don't know why this lady is throwing these fucking eggs at me. She said, she didn't say that. She said, I can't think of any particular reason for this. So there was no significant conflict between the pair that would lead her to believe that she deserved to have dozens and dozens and dozens of eggs thrown at her house. Prosecutor said she is a high risk of reoffending. I agree with the prosecutor. Someone who is willing to buy 1,000 eggs and throw them at your house over a couple of months is going to do it again. They have this compulsion, this urge. They don't make good decisions. They're going to be like, well, I got away with it last time. I'm going to get away with it this time. And they're just going to continue to do it. So I actually think the prosecutor might be very, very accurate in this one. The woman said, the egg thrower, the perpetrator, said, I will never throw eggs again. And this leads back to my previous point at the end of the last story. I will never throw eggs again. That may mean that she's interpreting the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law. So they're like, don't throw eggs at your neighbor's house. She's like, oh, I will never throw eggs at her house. And then turns to the camera and goes, I will throw something else. So she's going to throw like a rotten eggplants. She's going to throw poop. She's going to get a dog and then throw the dog poop at the neighbor's house or something. Like, this is not someone who makes good decisions. Again, the fiscal element is the bit that actually rubs me the wrong way more than anything else. If I took Dave's poop and started throwing it at my neighbor's house, well, I was feeding Dave anyways. That poop is free. That's my product that I've produced somehow through my money. I might as well get my money's worth and use the dog poop to throw at my neighbor's house. That makes more sense to me. But we run into the same problem. I have to live next to the house that has a big pile of dog poop next to it because I threw it there. So I'm punishing myself as much as the neighbor. That's maybe the bit. If I'm going to punish someone else, I want to make sure that I don't get any sort of blowback, which is 100% what's happening here. During the prosecution, they also said, like, she did this numerous times. Our perpetrator said, I don't know about the numerous part. It happened months. It happened multiple times every day. She did it constantly. She's looking like semantics is going to get her out of this. Well, you know, I threw some eggs. I mean, I guess numerous is up to you. Like, it's an interpretive word. Like, don't we just interpret all words? That kind of bullshit. If you throw, I'm going to decide what numerous is right now. We're going to define numerous. If you throw eggs at someone's house, so they're not talking about volume of eggs. They're talking about instances. So if you throw eggs at someone's house more than 3 times, that is numerous. That is a number that we have to start assigning to it, that we can't just say like a couple, a few. It's going to be numerous. So I'm thinking 5 is the minimum. 4 is that borderline, but 5 is absolutely numerous. And then you get 6, 7, 8. She was sometimes doing it multiple times a day. So in one day, she might do it 2-3 times. So over 2 days, then she was hitting numerous. And then she did it for months. It would be, we need a more stronger word. We need a more powerful word than numerous for how often she was throwing eggs at this person's house. The prosecution wants 2 years and 6 months in prison. Maybe if she's willing to apologize, she'll get that 6 months taken off. I bet this woman is not capable of an apology. There are a lot of people in the world you'll meet, and you'll find that they will become contrite, but they will not apologize, even when they've had it proven to them that they were wrong. And it's actually one of those things, it's hard to justify. I throw eggs at someone's house. I'm clearly in the wrong. Like, even if I've been offended by something, I'm clearly in the wrong for reacting that way. And then not, but I'd never apologize for it because I can't see myself as ever being wrong. The woman said, "I regret what I did this time. To avoid further troubling my family, I will never throw eggs again." So there's, again, a couple elements in there. I was like, The way she talks makes me realize, like, she's not sorry. So let's break down her statement. "I regret what I did this time." So if she had done something previous, she doesn't regret that. If she does something in the future, she probably won't regret that. She's saying very specifically, and again, I don't think she regrets her actions. I think she regrets the fact that she got caught and she's in trouble now. Because she said, "to avoid further troubling my family." So not the trouble I've caused to my neighbor, not the problem I've caused for other people. I'm sorry about the trouble this has caused for my family, probably me more than anyone else. I will never throw eggs again. And she's very specific about eggs. Now, I know this whole case is about the eggs, but I think the fact that she's specifically saying, "I won't throw eggs again," immediately, because of her personality type, the kind of psycho person that like snipes eggs out a window, is the kind of person who would be like, "Well, I said I would never throw eggs again. I never said I wouldn't go and get Dave's poop and throw that at your house, which I did. And I don't see why you're so upset." Her verdict will be delivered on October 31st. I am absolutely going to try to look out for that. I want to see if she gets her 2 years. Prosecution always goes for high numbers. So I bet she doesn't actually get the 2 years. I bet she gets the 2 years with a suspended sentence for a period of time if she doesn't get in trouble. That seems more realistic. She might have to pay some damages to fix up the house. But again, they don't do punitive fiscal damages in Japan. They don't pay you like $1 million for emotional trauma. You would pay to repaint the house and clean up the grounds, and that would be about it. So we'll see. On October 31st, I will hunt down the verdict if I can find it and find out what happens to the clearly non-regretful egg-throwing lady. Our Chinese reporter who got fired from the NHK, it wasn't working for the NHK, it was a contract thing. They outsourced to this other company and they said, like, "We want you to deliver the Japanese news in Chinese to Chinese listeners." This guy, we got a little more background because he went back to China. He got in trouble. He got fired because what he did was say, he made some very strong political statements. He said the Senkaku Islands belong to China. This is a set of disputed islands. That's the main thing he said. He said a couple other things, but that was the main one. He said, like, "Don't forget Nanking," that kind of stuff. So he's making very strong, essentially anti-Japanese statements on a Japanese broadcast in Chinese. The bit I didn't know until the second article that came out about this was that he switched to English to do it. So there's a bit of a undermining there of, like, maybe the guy who sort of edits or oversees your broadcast actually speaks Chinese. If you switch to English, maybe the guy can't keep up. So this guy might be like dual trilingual. So it's an interesting set of skills he's got there and how he's decided to employ it. He did an interview when he went back to China with Chinese media. So of course they're just like, I don't know if they're treating him as a hero, but they're certainly not like down on what he did. I got a segment of this from the Mainichi, and in the interview, so this is, quote, I got to make sure that you know what I'm saying and what's being said from another source. Quote, in the interview conducted after the man returned to China, he claimed the graffiti also included the words "death to militarism" in a more prominent place, but not in the news script. And NHK tried to cover it up. So the story he was talking about is a Chinese influencer, and his name was like Iron Dong or something, came to Yasukuni Shrine, which is a shrine where a lot of war criminals are buried. It's very controversial because it's a shrine to people who were in the military, but because of Japan's militaristic history, a lot of bad things have happened. So if you go there and pray, are you praying for the people who gave their lives for the country, or are you praying for these guys who committed horrible war crimes? It's very difficult. I mean, certainly the people in Korea and China can interpret it the way they do. I totally understand what's happening. This guy's like, he's going to make a political statement. He wrote, "death to militarism," which was not reported on, "poop and toilet." And he said his reason was because they were releasing the Fukushima wastewater into the ocean. He said, well, because Japan is treating the world like a toilet, I'm going to treat Yasukuni Shrine like a toilet. And he wrote toilet and poop on it. Now, I saw pictures and I didn't see death to militarism, but that doesn't mean it wasn't there. Because again, maybe they're taking pictures from a certain angle, they're cutting out bits so I can't see the bit they don't want us to see. So the claim is death to militarism in a more prominent place, but not in the news script, and NHK tried to cover it up. He reportedly brought this to the broadcaster's attention, calling it a form of deceiving the public and violating the principles of objective reporting. So he's saying, like, look, we're reporting the news. This is what was written. We should tell everybody what was written. And NHK is like, no, don't say that part, or it's not in the script. You just read the script. We don't need your interpretation of it. Trying to hide an element of this story from the public. He sought to have the script changed. He explained that he decided on his course of action when those pleas were sidelined. So he said, look, let's just put all the information in there and let people decide for themselves. NHK is like, no. He's like, okay, I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to say some things that I think, and I'm going to make sure the world can hear my voice. He further said, I always felt opposed to NHK's bullshit way of ignoring the truth of history, revealing that he had been dissatisfied with the organization's operations for many years prior to the incident. So he's saying the way NHK treats history, the way it sort of, again, cherry picks details, he was against that principally, and that's why he decided to take this stand. I don't know the guy. I'm a little torn because I agree with what he's doing. I actually think taking a stand is a pretty brave and noble thing to do. I don't know if what he's saying is true, and I don't know if he's just pro-Chinese and anti-Japanese. It's a very tough spot to be in. So I don't want to make judgments, but I do believe in giving all the facts of the story as I see them, because I don't want to, like, I want to make it very clear when I interpret stories on sort of your behalf. So when you're hearing it, you know what's my opinion. My opinion on this one, I don't know. Because again, I saw pictures, but even with pictures, I don't believe everything I see. So it's a very tough one, but I absolutely believe that NHK would censor or hide or alter information so that it wasn't completely accurate. So I'm more on this Chinese guy's side of the truth than NHK's. So now we're on to new news, not updates. This, every now and then I want to throw in a story, and it's basically to show just how peaceful a place Japan is to live in. This was national news in Japan. A neighbor's dog escapes. It was an Akita. It was a pretty big dog. And it was running around, and it was captured 40 minutes later without incident. I want you to think about that. Now, there's more to the story because they interviewed some people and stuff, and it's kind of funny because there's a Keystone Cops kind of thing where the police are chasing around this big dog and having a lot of trouble catching it. So it's probably more amusing than anything else. The fact that dog got away from owner, police had a little trouble catching it, they caught it 40 minutes later and everything was fine, is national news. Just shows how little news there is actually in Japan. One resident said, it's scary, you know, the dog ran from the south to the north. I don't know why that statement got me going. I'm like, so if it run from north to south, it would have been okay. I know that's not the interpretation of what it meant, but it was just one of those things. I was like, get a hold of yourself. The dog was scared of people. And it's a big dog. So that in itself could be quite intimidating and scary, but the dog was more afraid of people than anything else. It was kind of freaked out. So it was just running away from everyone. It was not being aggressive. So these people acting like the dog was scary, I think, is already overreacting. 40 minutes later, police caught the dog. That was on the national news the other day. And it just shows you that, yeah, gun laws work. There was my political statement out of nowhere. I don't know why. I guess it's because I've never had to like report on massive gun crimes. We have talked about crossbow control laws and stuff like that in the past, because anytime there's an incident with a weapon, that weapon suddenly gets regulated. This is a very interesting story because they're trying to do a very noble thing, but they're doing it in a very modern way, which is good. But then I, as maybe the person, the recipient of this attention, might actually freak out. I don't know if it would make it worse. There is a forest in Japan called Aokigahara, and it is referred to as the suicide forest. So a few years ago, like 5-6 years ago, Logan Paul came to Japan. He went to this forest. He found a dead body. He filmed it. He put it on the internet. It caused a lot of trouble. The forest is famous as the place you go to commit suicide. So that's already a problem. The people who live there are like, we want to dispel this image. We don't want people to think of this as the place you go to commit suicide. That's a problem. So they're trying to figure out ways. Can we find people? Can we help people? I mean, these are people in distress, so we can find them and help them before they actually do something like this. Maybe we can make their lives better, save some people, and also kind of get rid of this image of this is the place to go do this thing. They are going to have drones with thermal cameras patrolling over the forest. So they're going to look for people who are not on the trails. And so those people who've gone off the trails, they're like, okay, that's already suspicious behavior in this forest. So then we're going to send out a little drone that's being controlled by a guy. So they have this just autonomous drone flying around looking for heat signatures. And then they find one and it's not on the trail. So they're like, okay, that person maybe is in trouble. Maybe they're feeling suicidal. Maybe they have some mental issues they're dealing with. We're going to get a guy with another drone, fly that little drone out. It's got a microphone. It's got a speaker on it. And he's going to try to talk to the person. The plan is not, you know, fully sussed out in the actual article, but it was a lot of interesting things using technology to try to help people in a very positive way. Because right now they have volunteer patrols who walk around the forest. But once you go off the trail into the forest, those people aren't going to be able to see you anymore. They're not going to hear you. They're not going to be able to find you. So that's why they need the thermal imaging of the autonomous drone in the sky. They're claiming that a big part of this is helping people because they're going to find people who've gone off the trails and then lead them to safety. So bring them back to civilization so we can help them. 30% of the people who go to this forest to commit suicide are not from the area. So the numbers are pretty rough. In 2019 and 2020, 182 people committed suicide in this forest. In 2021, it was 192, so it went up by 10 people. In 2022, it was 199. And in 2023, it was already 215. So you can see that number is going up every single year. And again, part of it is the image of this place as the place to do this thing is leading people to come to this place and do it. The good side is, since these people are taking actions with drones, they might be able to help some people. So actually, that's very optimistic, very positive. To me, it's a very Japanese thing. Let's use some technology and try to save some people, try to help some people. I think that's great. They're testing this until 2025. So this year, essentially, they're going to be flying these drones around trying to help people with those. The human-operated drone is going to fly to the person, and then through the speaker, they're going to say, if you need help, wave your hands. So if they wave their hands, it's obvious they got a camera. If they wave their hands. This is immediately thinking like they didn't have a camera on it. So I was like, if you need help, wave your hands. And there's just like a guy in the forest waving his hands, but the operator can't see him. And then just asking like, are you all right? But I was thinking like, if I'm in an emotionally fragile state and I'm in the forest, I'm like really, really prepping to do something. Yeah, if I was in that fragile mental state and then a drone came out of nowhere and started talking to me, that might actually freak me out more. So that's actually, I think, maybe the thing they have to be most careful of is how to approach the people who are in this very fragile situation. There was a dentist who regularly visits a facility for people with different disabilities. And there was one man, he had severe intellectual issues and was very poor communication. So basically had a lot of issues trying to communicate with people. He didn't like having his teeth worked on. Fair enough. A lot of people are scared of the dentist. If you're not able to communicate with people well, then that might make it more scary. He said he basically didn't want the treatments. So the nurse, she decides to go full mount on the guy and hold him still. And then the doctor proceeds to start working on his teeth. We don't know what he was doing. Maybe it was cavities. Maybe it was just checking his teeth. Maybe it was a cleaning. I don't know. But they had this woman hold him down while he did it. So if you're already freaked out by the dentist, someone physically restraining you and holding you down isn't going to make it better. And if you have communication issues and you're like, I'm panicking, I'm scared, and you can't communicate that well, it's going to make it 100 times worse. So I have tons of sympathy for this guy. And then you find out the patient died from a combined factors, including respiratory failure. So this nurse held him down so hard he couldn't breathe. That may have led to other issues, health issues that he already had, who knows, exasperated something, and he died as a result. So, of course, the nurse and the dentist are both being brought in. They've been arrested for manslaughter, maybe even, you know, a certain degree of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, I'm not sure, accidental death, something like that. The dentist said, I left the physical restraints to the nurse. So immediately throwing the nurse under the bus on that one, saying, like, look, she was the one holding him down. I was just working on the teeth. I can't be held responsible for what she did. The nurse said, continuing the treatment meant that the dentist implicitly ordered the patients be physically restrained. So she's saying, It's the dentist's fault. So I do enjoy that these two people are immediately throwing the other one under the bus. There's no loyalty here. I don't know if these actually work together. Like, she might be a nurse at the facility, not a nurse for the dentist. And so she might be interpreting him. It goes back and forth. I think both equally responsible. The dentist could have said, hey, maybe don't crush this patient. The nurse could have gone, this dude's freaking out. Maybe we should just move on. The police said, maybe we use some anesthetic or anesthesia or something. Let's put him under so that he doesn't freak out. Or, you know, stop. Don't give him some treatment on his teeth this time, as opposed to killing him. And I think in this case, you know, we dish on the police on a lot of news shows. I think this time the police have given a reasonable answer. Perhaps not working on his teeth was better than killing the man outright.
Talking about the drones in the forest. How do you answer, like, I'm fine, I am interested in haunted places or something? People do like haunted places.
Well, I'm assuming it has a microphone. Because, yeah, so this is the reason this was really famous for me. I had heard of the suicide forest before, but you run into the issue of Logan Paul. He was there for entertainment purposes. Now, you can judge him for that, but honestly, it's a freaky, weird place. I probably would be interested in going to a place like that myself. I think the issue we're dealing with here specifically is you're supposed to stay on the trails. So if someone is intentionally going off the trail, they're going off and that's why they want to check on them. So I guess the thing is, the drone would come up and say, are you okay? Wave your hands if you're okay, or wave your hands if you need help. And if you don't wave your hands, that's actually, again, I didn't think about that until I just said it just now. The drone comes up and says, wave your hands if you need help, and you just stare at them. If you're in a mental state, you might just not react. When I get upset or angry, I just don't react. I just stay completely still. So that is a very interesting question you've actually put forward. Maybe just give them a thumbs up. Because again, they have a camera. But I don't know if there's a rule that you have to stay on the trail. That's going to be the bit that where it would actually either fall apart or not. Because if the rule is you have to stay on the trail, then, okay, you got to stay on the trail, even if it's you want to go around the forest. But it was Logan Paul finding the dead body and videoing it and putting it on the internet brought a lot of attention to this place. And it, again, like you see the numbers in the last story, they were going up and up and up. So that's where the problems come in.